Today on the podcast, we had the pleasure of interviewing Ashana. Ashana is one of the premier healing music artists and new age vocalists of our time, weaving together soaring angelic vocals and the celestial sound of alchemy crystal singing bowls. This exquisitely crafted sonic tapestry has been hailed by listeners all over the world as breathtaking and a gift from heaven. Ashana's best-selling music from All Is Forgiven, Jewels of Silence, Beloved, The Infinite Heart, River of Light, Celestial Sleep, and The Illuminated Path have been downloaded and streamed by millions of fans around the world. A lifelong student of yoga and mantra from many of the world's spiritual traditions, Ashana has led two online group meditations touching the lives of more than 20,000 people in 50 countries. As a renowned master crystal bowl artist, teacher, and sound healer, Ashana is an expert in the field of sound healing with crystal bowls, training students from all over the world in the art of applying crystalline sound to therapeutic and artistic healing modalities in her crystal bowl mastery program. Ashana lives near Sedona, Arizona with her husband, native Hawaiian healer James Kawainu. So that was her bio. And I honestly, I thought this conversation was great. I didn't come into this episode as a skeptic of sound healing. I just never really gave it too much thought, to be honest. And when we got into the scientific basis of it being sound is energy and vibration and how that can physically affect the body and the nervous system, it just gave me a completely new perspective of sound. So that was I came out of this conversation changed, to be honest.
Yeah. I've had experiences of going to crystal bowls, crystal singing bowl healings. There we go. Whatever it was, or the sound bath is the more widely known term. And I've known it really does shift and make a difference. So to talk with such a master, and I had no idea coming into this conversation that she had had sold so many of her albums, had done so much work around the world. But it's very clear in the way that she answered the questions that we had that there's a lot of intention and mastery in what she was speaking of, and how, again, the sound is the vibration and the frequency that can heal and does heal, which she has incredible case histories and stories of that with her clients that she worked with. But the one thing I wanted to add before you listen to this episode is we talk, it was a good 10, 15 minutes of this episode, of the power of intention from the one delivering the sound healing, but then also the intention of someone receiving a sound healing. And I want to just add that this is well studied. Now, there's dozens of scientific experiments that show that when a group of people set an intention for even just for peace, for example, and if there's a couple thousand people meditating on peace, then in that city that where they meditated for a particular period of time, there was crime rates that dropped 20 to 30% over the next few months and years. So this is well studied that this works, the power of intention. And so when we get to that, I invite you to remember that as the scientific basis of that more esoteric or spiritual viewpoint of what is going on there with intention. So I just wanted to drop that in and as an addition, because it didn't feel like there was a right time to add that in, because Ashana was giving such incredible knowledge and was sharing so beautifully. So I didn't want to interrupt her flow.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, if anyone's kind of on the fence about listening to this episode, if you listen to music, you need to listen to this episode. It just kind of changed my whole perspective on music and the power it has. So just want to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So enjoy the episode. It's a powerful episode on the podcast.
Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. So, Ashana, welcome to the podcast. We're looking forward to having this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Chris. I'm super, super stoked to be here with you this morning.
Mm-hmm. We are too. And we're definitely going to hear more about your background and all the amazing crystal bowls that are behind you. But let's start off with your story of how you even got into this work of sound healing.
It was a complete destiny moment. I really want to say it like that, because I've been a professional musician for many years, decades. I mean, pretty much started singing professionally when I was about 15 or 16 years old. And I've done all kinds of things, conservatory trained, sing theater and opera and early music, and all of that was part of my, you know, my life and my development. And somewhere around 1999, I was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and a dear friend of mine called me up one day and she said, "Have you ever heard of Crystal Singing Bowls?" And I said, "No." And she goes, "These are right up your alley." So literally, sight unseen, I ordered one. And I had no idea what I was doing or what I was getting into. And a few weeks later, this, you know, gigantic box, I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating, I mean, this like huge box shows up on my doorstep. And I open it up, and there's like a bazillion peanuts, and they all come out. And then there's another box in. So I'm dealing with Russian dolls at this point. Mm. And so I pull out the other box, bazillion peanuts, and out comes this beautiful white classic frosted bowl. Now, it's not, doesn't look like these, but they're pure white and they're very heavy. These were the original crystal singing bowls that kind of started the use of crystal singing bowls in sound healing. Because at that time, you got to remember, back in 1999, sound healing was not trending. It was like a thought in people's minds, and that was it. So I take out this bowl and I uncover it from the plastic, and I pop it on its little O-ring, which is a little silicon O-ring that looks like, you know, it looks like a ring. You put it on the table, put the bowl on the table, and I picked up the mallet and I tapped the side. And literally, and I am not exaggerating, the instant I heard that sound, I started to cry. Because the first thought that entered my mind was that light had come to live in my house. And the second thought I had, like literally 5 seconds later, maybe three, was one day I'm going to put these into music. Hmm. Of course, at that point in time, nobody was putting bowls into music, but I knew it. I could feel it in my bones. And 3 weeks later, I had seven. And so for a 2-year period, I went around and I did what was now known as ubiquitously, now known as sound baths. Well, I was doing sound baths before there were sound baths, and it was just the right thing to do. So I would schlep these bowls, and you know, I had like big ones, 16 inch ones, 14 inch ones, and I would set them up at a yoga studio, at a wellness center. You called me, I went. And it was this integration at the time of bowls and toning and vocal sound and meditation. And I did this for about 2 years like that. And then at a certain point in time, I went, okay, I think I understand enough about these that I can start to work with this on a larger scale. And then back in about 2003, I began to acquire I was introduced first, actually, to the Alchemy Crystal Singing Bowls. Now, this is completely next gen. I mean, these bowls, you know, what I like to say when I'm talking to my students and clients is, you know, you've got your, you know, the family car that you started out with on the classics, and you move into these, and now you're driving a Ferrari, because the difference is so vast between the two, the overtones, the harmonics of the bowls, the delicacy of the sound, the nuance that you can create, you know, with these bowls is just spectacular. And on an energetic level, there's just nothing like it. They work with frequencies that simply aren't available in the classic frosted bowls, because now we're introducing precious gemstones, minerals, and metals into the mix. And this just creates a brand new, like a stratosphere in sound healing experience with crystalline sound. So we did that. I started doing that. I mean, my first ones, they're over there. They're the treasured mama bowls of my set, this beautiful amethyst bowl, beautiful rose quartz, and a beautiful platinum. And then in 2005, I met my producer, through incredible synchronistic events. And what I was doing at the time was I was running a large scale program for music for young children, and I knew I was done. I had completed that cycle, and I knew it was time to do my music. And so literally I sold my business, met my producer, and in September 2005 I made my first album, which has now gone on literally to sell millions and millions and millions of copies, and my music is now known worldwide. So it was just this kind of follow the breadcrumbs, you follow your heart, you follow the next step that's in front of you, and you follow your joy. And that's exactly what happened. That's what I did.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your journey. That's incredible. And to hear that, you know, you said began 2005 when you started to create your own music with these amazing healing instruments. I'm curious to hear your point of view now after decades of experience with this. Why? Why is it so powerful? Why is it so helpful? And why is it so widely needed and looked for?
Which question first?
That's a good question. You could take it as it is. When I ask questions, I often go off because I love speaking or adding different things in. But curious, like your point of view of why they're so powerful.
Well, you know, when I started back in you know, recording music in 2005, I wasn't quite getting how powerful it was, but I knew that there was something extraordinary that was happening. And of course, you know, since then I've just acquired a lot more expertise and knowledge and understanding of it. In a nutshell, quartz crystal amplifies energy. It transmits energy. It stores or contains energy. It absorbs energy, and it transduces and transforms energy. So when music or sounding, depending on how you're working with the bowls, whether you're working with them in private sessions, one-on-one, as a healing modality, or you're taking it into a group session, you know, a sound bath, for example, or you're doing intentional music, intentional healing music. And that is what I set out to do. I set out to create intentional healing music. And what my producer and I would say is that you go like, here's the music, folks. Look at the hand, right? Watch the hand. And behind it are these bowls going like this. But because of the way that we crafted the music, you know, my producer Thomas Barkey is just a master at sound and exquisite artistry. And so we co-created this sound, which is just exquisite. And it is a full-on artistic experience of sound. And then we ran the bowls in. You know, I'm a musician, as I said, for many, many, many years. And I approached the crystal singing bowls first and foremost as a musical instrument. So I treated them as that inside musical context. And at the same time, all of this intentional healing and all of the transmission of those intentions, amplification of those vibrational frequencies was just powering through the music. And we did something that no one had ever done before. We took this hybrid of really powerfully brilliant musical artistry, and we blended it in with the sound, the crystalline sound, the healing sound of alchemy crystal singing bowls. And that really had never been done before at that level. And we continue to do this work. So it just created, essentially, we became, without even knowing it, and we weren't even aware of it, pioneers in the field of sound healing with crystal singing bowls. It wasn't something I was looking to do. It was just something that happened. And this sound has done, you know, all my albums, everything. This sound has had immediate healing effects on people that listen to it. We've had people literally, they listen to the sound clips, you know, back, you know, when we had, you know, instead of full on streaming, we had just like these 1 minute to 2 minute sound clips, and people would listen to the sound clips and have healings on the internet just from the music itself. So that just went on and expanded and expanded. And so what happens when you're working with intentional healing music, and specifically with music of the Alchemy Crystal Singing Bowls, is that the body begins to reharmonize. You experience relaxation on a very profound level. And you're literally sending instructions on a cellular level for the cells to open up, receive these sounds, and shift through the vibration frequencies of that are being presented to them, that become the dominant sound in the cellular environment. And it's also in the energetic field, you know, not just the physical, that's our most dense form, but also in the energetic field. So we're working with all the etheric bodies and the bodies that are in our magnetic field. And those sound and vibrational frequencies enter in, and they literally start reorganizing in a natural way, because the body recognizes it wants to go back into homeostasis. It wants to go back into its harmony, the full body harmony, where all the cells are kind of humming along. They're talking to each other and they line up, and that happens through the nervous system. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely does. Yeah, I was going to say that's beautiful because, you know, I guess a lot of people don't realize when they're like listening to music or just listening to any kind of sound, because you can't see the sound, but it is creating these vibrations in the air that is going to have an effect on your cells. And I was just thinking about it because I've been reading this book by Candace Pert, and she's done a lot of work on like the cellular level with like messaging and like hormones and stuff and how the cells work. And she was saying that the more and more she researched it, what she was starting to realize was that cells and the messenger, like things that I guess make cells do things, it's not really like a lock and key. It's more of like an energetic dance, and they like attract each other to each other. And so your explanation of how the sound bowls work with the frequencies makes total sense given that model of how the body works.
Exactly. So
I kind of just wanted to tie that in a little bit to kind of ground more of the science, because it makes total sense. And I guess too, that everyone who's listened to music before can understand that there is a shift that you feel with music, right? Like any kind of music. And so I thought it was cool that your background was as a musician and how you weave that in. So,
well, totally. I mean, any kind of music, mm-hmm. right? You know, we're not talking about, I'm not talking about, you know, just the simplicity of playing a bowl, or you have three bowls or four bowls, and that's the only soundscape that you hear. You know, I like to tell people all the time that healing music comes in lots of different shapes and sizes. You know, I can remember some of the most powerful healing music that I ever heard was listening to a recording of Mahalia Jackson singing on the steps of the Washington Monument. And I will never forget the moment I heard that recording. And I just started bawling like a baby. Mm-hmm. And something in the sound of her voice, something in the power of what she was singing, literally opened up and unlocked something in my heart. And it just started rippling and vibrating through my whole field. And who I was 5 minutes prior to hearing that had changed. And this happens with music of every single kind, because music is a universal language, mm-hmm. and it is about vibration. And when we find something, we experience a sound, we experience a lyric, we experience the intention of the singer or the artist. You know, I mean, I have been to just amazing concerts in my life. And one of the most beautiful experience I ever had was sitting in the Santa Fe Opera House and listening to the cellist Yo-Yo Ma play. And he did it was unaccompanied, right? So at later in the program, he brought in a pianist to play with him. But the whole first part of the program was just him playing unaccompanied Bach cello sonatas. And so here are thousands of people, right, in this auditorium. And he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, like from the rafters, all these birds descended. And they began flying around him while he was playing in response to the music. And everybody in the audience was like this. And he looks up and he's playing, right? He's playing. And he looks up and he's beaming. And it's like love is pouring in to this whole theater. And everybody felt it. And that's an artist. That's a sound healer.
Yeah.
All left completely transformed in that moment.
I was going to say, thank you for sharing that. Because I think, like I was saying before, you know, I feel like a lot of people have probably experienced something, maybe not at the height of that. But Kev, like, for example, when we go to like Incubus concerts, like there's certain songs that just evoke some emotions in you. And then when the whole crowd is there and they're singing and they're feeling the music too, there's just a different kind of energy that comes out of that. It's hard to describe. But when you think about sound being frequency and vibration, it's kind of starts to make sense. I don't know why, like, I guess before this conversation, I didn't really think about sound in that way, because I've never experienced the sound healing before with these. But when I think about music that I've listened to and music that really evokes emotion in me, I can think of many moments of my life where I felt moved by just sound.
Right.
Yeah.
And when the intention is healing, you know, when you have artists that are deeply committed to holding an intention for healing, then incredible transformation can start to happen. That's, you know, that's a lot of what we do as sound healers with the crystal singing bowls, or, you know, other sound healing instruments like didgeridoos and therapy harps and tuning forks. And, you know, there's kind of a beautiful gamut that's just surfacing now, drums, gongs, you know, where the whole intention, when people come into an experience, or they experience it through a recording, you know, like many of the recordings that I have do this, you know, so they come into this space where, you know, collectively, like when I do a concert, there is an intention that is set, first of all, by me personally, and then there's the invitation to everyone in the room to begin to hold a very clear intention for their own well-being, the well-being of their families, the well-being of their communities. And, you know, when you're doing it inside a concert setting, right, this starts going
right,
because you have the energy of all these people in the room, and they're all going, yes, I want peace. I want peace inside my heart. I want right relationships. You know, I'm holding a vision. I'm feeling the emotion, the sensing. I'm sensing it with my entire being. And I have the collective support of this group of people that are focused on a higher vibrational quality. You know, we're not there to smoke, you know, papalolo, like my husband's Hawaiian, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we're not drinking and smoking and carrying on and just having a good time. It has a completely different, not that there's anything wrong with that, but this has a completely different intentional feel. Mm-hmm. This is about healing. This is about lifting the vibration to hope, to possibility, to the miraculous, to love, to understanding, to compassion, to full-on body healing, full-on connection with our souls and the divine. These are some of the intentions that are brought in when, you know, when I do my recordings, when we do these events, when, you know, when we're doing what we're doing right now. It's about that. It's how can I do my part in the web of light that surrounds our the consciousness of surrounds and actually is the consciousness of our planet. So what can I do to uplift that, to strengthen the vibration of light, wellness, whole being? So now we're doing this as a collective, and the instruments, especially these guys, they are amplifying that intention, and they also entraining to those pure tone frequencies that are created when we play them. It's really, it's, I mean, I can't imagine a better job.
Yeah.
I imagine you don't consider it as a job.
No, I don't. It's a lot of work though, but sure. You know, but I don't consider it a job. No.
Right.
I consider it a, you know, a life calling.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to ask, cause again, like going back to, I guess, listeners kind of having that experience of listening to different kinds of music and feeling the change. You did start mentioning about the, I forgot the exact term you use, like pure frequencies of the bowls.
Pure tone
frequency. Yeah. Pure tone frequency. So is there like, has our, I guess like our instruments and our science caught up to like, are there specific frequencies that have been studied that show that they do specific things in the body? Or is it really, I don't know, just your opinion on that and what you've seen?
Well, yeah, there are definitely scientific studies that have been done that calibrate specific frequencies to conditions in the body conditions in the mental body, in the emotional body. And it really depends kind of on who you're talking to, who you're speaking to, you know. So there are many different Hertz frequency tunings that we can work with. Like, for example, the 432 Hertz tuning is considered deeply healing by many because of its resonance with the Schumann frequency with the earth. And then we have those that really love the 528 Hertz frequency because it is their belief system that this frequency invokes a recalibration and rejuvenation of the DNA material. Some people will call it the miracle frequency or the happy frequency. And then, of course, we have all of our 440 Hertz tuning, which is our standard tuning for all of Western music and actually most music in the world right now. And there's, you know, a whole hoo-ha about, you know, oh, it deviates from the 432, it deviates from the 444. And then I go, well, let me just remind you about that concert with Yo-Yo Ma, you know, Let me remind you of like all the music that's been created, the incredible music that's been created in 440 Hertz tuning, which is, you know, phenomenal. And it's the intention behind that. You know, we cannot disconnect the intention from the Hertz frequency. I mean, it's really, for me, and the intention of the music itself is the game changer. That is the little key that unlocks the door to magic happening. And you can certainly, I mean, there are scientific studies that are being done now, and I'm trying to think of one that I was just reading about the other day. It slipped my mind, but you know, where specific frequencies are used to target cancer cells and eliminate cancer cells, and they are fine. Yeah, that was a study that I was reading. They were talking about cancer cells. There was a professor of music at a esteemed university who's a musician, you know, an orchestral conductor, and he was also deeply involved in science, and he joined up with a research facility, and they went searching for specific frequencies, Hertz frequencies, in some like the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands. And this is back in 2013. And they managed to isolate these frequencies that literally would go in and destroy cancer cells. So that kind of stuff is being done. And, you know, the Rife frequencies, I don't know if you're familiar with those, but this was a study done by, I can't remember his first name, he was a scientist, And he calibrated all these frequencies for to target specific conditions. And of course, you know, we don't hear about that
much. Yeah.
Because our pharmaceutical industry does not like, you know, they're not backing that kind of science at this point.
Yeah. They don't like the cut in their profits.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I'm speaking from experience. I was in school to get my doctorate in pharmacy before I left, because I started to become aware of what the industry was and in totality, in general. But not, you know, there's definitely good that does happen there. But in general, I didn't want to be a part of it. And so I left. That was 10 years ago now. But yeah, I hear you. I wonder, because when you were speaking about the different frequencies and like studies on that, I'm wondering if, because there's a book that I'm aware of, I have in my library called The Map of Consciousness. I wonder if that's what you're potentially speaking of. Okay. It was Dr. David Hawkins who did research on, it's mainly more emotions, but he did study the different frequencies of what those emotions were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The effects in the body.
Parts of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering if it was that, but maybe it was different because he didn't go specifically into like the frequencies and the hertz and all that, but it was similar. Like I think parallel studies or parallel kind of research.
Well, I think we're waking up to this, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's happening, and this is why it's so wonderful to have science and musicians and artists and vibrational healing people, like all kind of coming together and looking at things from a much, much bigger perspective. And every single piece is just like this little tiny piece on the web that just connects it all together. I think it's exquisite.
Yeah.
Science and saying, yeah, look at frequency like this. And then the artist comes in and says, yeah, but look at frequency like this. And
right.
Then the healer comes in and says, well, let's look at frequency like this. And you start blending it together. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we get to reach more people this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people will be touched by the artist. Some will be, you know, convinced and supported and helped by the scientist. And some will, you know, immediately gravitate towards, you know, the healer putting hands on the cranial sacral therapist or the Reiki healer. And you know, who cares? God, goddess, all that is, you know, infinite possibilities. So we have all these options and now they're working together. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to go back to something that you mentioned before and maybe we can just dive a little deeper into it. Like you were talking about intention. You were talking about the intention of the person who's creating the music, but then I think you also mentioned the intention of the listener too. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how the intention of someone listening to music might actually help them, because right now, like what I'm thinking from this conversation is that the next time I put on Spotify and start listening to music, like I want to be more intentional about what I'm listening to. So I just wanted you to speak on that a little bit.
Oh, I love that. That's a really yummy question. Can I just stop you for a second? And I'm going to lean back here because we are having a storm in, not storm, a big rainstorm. It just got really cold in my room. So I...
Yeah, no problem.
Turn my heater on. So there's a couple of places where the listener, the quality of listening and the receptivity of the listener can make all the difference in the world. And at the same time, it isn't necessarily so. So you can have an intentional healing being sent remotely to someone who absolutely is not convinced or not even engaged in it, and they will be the receiver of the benefit. So for example, like one story that really jumps out at me is when I was first in my first few years of doing sound baths, we had we were gathered in a group, and I always asked people for intentions to begin with. And one of the people that was with us said, I want to send prayer work to my sister, and she's not well. And we said, okay, fine. And we put her in the center of the circle and we did a whole bunch of toning and bowls and sounding, and just the prayer work was really deep. And unbeknownst to everybody that was in the room, she was suffering from bladder cancer. And what happened was, the next day, I got a call from the person from who was in the group. And he said, Ashana, you're not going to believe what happened. That exactly at the time that we were holding the space for her and we were doing our prayer work, she, unbeknownst to any of this, went to the bathroom and passed the tumor.
Hmm.
Okay? She didn't know anything was going on. She had no clue. But this is the kind of thing, you know, when we, this is the power of prayer, you know, when it is in alignment with soul, and soul is ready for that, anything, miracles can happen.
Hmm.
So that's the power of intention.
Yeah. And then does the intent, so that was an example, I guess, of like the person creating and having the intention to send that to someone. Does the intention of the listener, would that actually help? Like if someone came into a sound healing and they had the intention. Yes. Okay.
Yes, totally. It makes a huge difference. And I'll give you another wonderful example with the big C. I have a program that I am we're getting ready to release to the general public. And we've been running beta tests on it because we wanted to make, you know, wanted to just see how it was going and see if it really worked the way I had a feeling that it would work, and also to tweak it to make it better for people. So we ran our first group, and we have a woman, had a woman in there in the group, and she was diagnosed with ovarian C, you know, and she ran through the program with all of her while she was doing chemotherapy and radiation. I think it was chemo and radiation, or one or the other. She was doing this. And she was absolutely committed to the program, to Celestial Alignment for Healing. So she was using the music and the meditations and the teachings every single day. She was shifting her mindset. She was opening up, learning to receive, learning to listen, really like whole deep listening into the body, bring all the energy into the cells. As we were finishing up our course of the program, she announced to us that her treatment was officially ended 1 month early because she didn't need it anymore.
Hmm.
And I just spoke to her 2 days ago, and she's completely cancer-free.
Nice.
So this is the power of intention. Her own intention was so clear, and she used and utilized the music, the support of the community, everything to just keep her focus on her own healing. So that in those moments of doubt, in those moments of uncertainty, she was able to shift and shift and shift and shift. So she kept sending all the cells in her body this message that you're well, you're healthy, there's light force and life force energy pouring through you, you know? So that's like a big game changer is the person's intention. And we've had, you know, a lot of response like that to people going in through this particular program, because we've seen a lot of shifts like that, either depression, anxiety, connecting with your life purpose, you know, other people having illnesses, people coming off medications, people, you know, and it's not simply about the program itself. It's the combination, the person who's engaged, who's listening, who's receptive, who's doing the homework, who's showing up. Man, that's like, you know, 50% of the whole 100% there. I mean, maybe it's probably even 80%, 90%, you know?
Yeah.
And so when we can teach people how to listen, how to be receptive, and see, a lot of people, a lot of people either aren't consciously aware of how to listen, and especially now in our culture, you know, where music now is a product, it's something to be, you know, just passively consumed. You know, you guys are younger than me, right? But see, like, I grew up in the days of albums, right? And we hardly have that anymore, right? You drop a new album, but you're really dropping singles. And then people take the singles and they pop them into a playlist. And the playlist can be like energetically, right? Like it's all over the map. But when you create an album, you're creating really essentially a sound journey. You know, I could think of like so many albums out there that I listened to where the songwriter like congruently placed together every single track on that album. And I can remember, you know, growing up and putting on the album, like on my record player, right? My cassette deck, and just laying back and just being bathed in this sound journey, one to the other, to the other. But we don't have that kind of listening anymore, not at that level where people just go in and they take it deep and they are with that. You know, we have a lot of, you know, oh, we play our music when we're driving, we play it in the background, we hear it on the elevators, oh my God, it's in the gas stations for crying out loud. I mean, you know, you pick up, you're on hold and it's, you know, and it's just, it's a cacophony of sound. So on some level, our nervous systems as a collective culture are almost numb. And so the actual process of teaching people to listen, to really receive sound, that's something we do in Celestial Alignment for Healing. That's something I do with all of my sound healing students in my programs. It's like almost step one, let's learn how to listen, and let's learn how to receive sound. And once we do that, it's a game changer.
That's a really good point, actually, because I'm just thinking about the times recently that I've been listening to music, and it was more of just something to fill the silence versus like something intentional. And I feel like, as you were mentioning, music is everywhere, department stores, malls. You walk into Chipotle, they're playing music. Like there's music everywhere. And it's almost like to just give people the comfort of having to hear things, but they're not really like listening. Right. And so the intention, like, again, I think this is going to change the way I'm listening to music now, even just having this conversation. Cause a lot of the times I listen to music is very unintentional and unconscious. It's just something to fill the noise, to fill the space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it distracts us for one thing. It does a couple of different things. Okay. It shifts us, you know, a lot of the music that they play, like in stores or the gas stations or on the elevator, and it brings us almost into like a high beta mind. Mm-hmm. So mind is like going, no, 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 think. Oh, bring up your energy. Oh, I have to buy something. So you're like this, you know, it kind of like that. So that's pretty intentional, I think.
Interesting.
On the part of the people who are doing marketing, and they want to keep people moving. They want to get you out. They want to get you in and out. Like in Chipotle, they don't want you sitting there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Flat state. Oh my God, my food. And I'm looking at my partner or my friend, and let's have another cup of tea, you know, we got to move them in and out. This is fast food. This is not slow eats. You know, so that's part of the intention for the sound. And then there's this place where, you know, we don't do silence as a culture anymore. We don't do sit and be quiet. You know, I think this is a part of the reason why mindfulness and meditation are really coming up, because people are starving for silence. I mean, you even go to the beach, remember, you know, going to the beach. And you can't even go to the beach in the summertime and sit in the silence because people have to have their radios or their cars blasting or they're this. You know, my husband loves to listen to music and I love silence. So when he listens, he puts his earbuds in and that's where he's at, because he respects my silence. And I respect that he loves music, you know? it's important to him, but my silence is important to me.
Yeah, can you actually talk about that a little bit? Because again, we've been talking this whole episode about the importance of sound and sound healing and intention with music and stuff, but it sounds like silence has a role to play in this. And I wonder if you can just speak to that a little bit, like what your opinion is on that. Like, it's very different, right? Sound and silence.
Well, it depends on how you're being with the silence. I mean, if you're being with the silence and all you're doing is listening to the thoughts in your head.
That's not silence.
That's not really silence. And we all have that. I got to do this, 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 right? You know, but when we go into like silence, we're giving space for the mind to calm down, for the nervous system to calm down. And see, in traditional sound healing, and I'm talking about like the original sound healing, like the nada yoga. You know, this is the yoga of sound, nada yoga, the yoga of sound. It was all about listening to the silence, because they felt that in the context of the silence existed everything. So nada yoga is a meditation on silence. It's a meditation on the inner sound of the primordial sound, which was considered the om, aum, and to be deeply connected and listening to that sound within. So, you know, that silence and sound and silence, they're partners. They're really, you know, two sides of the same coin. You know, that's the yin and the yang of sound. So we need both. And really, you know, I kind of go back, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. I kind of go back to, you know, the healing music and the sound of the bowls. And one of the most powerful, powerful things that we have with the alchemy crystal singing bowls is when we allow ourselves through the sound of the bowls, and once that sound is suspended, we drop into the silence at that point. Because what the bowls have done for us in that moment is to literally calm the chatter of the mind. They entrain our nervous system to just allow everything to become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. So oftentimes, you know, people's first experience to the sound of a bowl, you know, you're playing it. Literally, I tell people, like, within 3 minutes, it will shift your brain waves. Literally, within 3 minutes of listening to this. Also, depending on how it's being played, because if it's not being played so well, you might run screaming from the room. And that's not good. But, you know, we're going to say, okay, the person playing the bowls has at least a decent sense of, you know, how to play it. But, you know, when it is played, and when it's played with intention, and it's artful, and it's, you know, we're holding that healing intention for the person, you literally, you'll feel the room go like this. Or a patient, client, you know?
That's beautiful. That honestly reminds me of something I learned in music theory a long, long time ago, because I played clarinet for a few years in high school, a long time ago. But my instructor often said that it's not even so much the notes, but it's the space between the notes that actually makes the music so beautiful. So it's the dance, like you were saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. It's exactly right. Because there is, I talk about this with my students all the time. There is, first there's the note, right? And you play the note and you release it. And then that sound is filling the space. And then there might be this pause, this breath, where we feel like, we think it's silence, but actually it's the breath of the music. The music itself is breathing. And there's the inhalation inside the silence. And then it relaxes into the next sound. So
beautiful. Yeah. No. Yeah, see, you also can't have one without the understanding of the other, right? Like, if we didn't know what silence was, we wouldn't know the opposite of not silence.
Correct.
I actually had another. Do you have a question? I feel like I've been asking a lot of questions. Okay.
Go for it.
I had another kind of question.
I'm enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, that's maybe like more technical, but I kept thinking about this in my head. Like, is there a difference between listening to music in your ears and listening to music, you know, without like with a speaker or something, because the frequency is maybe hitting your body or something? Like, is there anything to that?
Wait, so you're talking, let me make sure I understand you.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the difference between acoustic music and electronic music? Or are you talking about listening through headphones and then listening without?
Yes. The second one. Because like, I guess if you're listening to music with headphones, all the sound and frequency is going straight into your eardrums. Whereas if you're listening on it through a speaker, the sound waves will be hitting you. Right. So I don't know if there's anything to that. I was just thinking about that in my head.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that. There's a kind of technology now that is being done. And oh my gosh, please don't ask me what it is. Its name absolutely escapes me right now. But what they're doing is, and I've had this experience of this technology, and it's pretty phenomenal, is they're putting the speakers, instead of a pair of stereo speakers, they're actually using like 10 to 14 to, you know, a maximum number of speakers that are all around you. And they are, you know, obviously if you're doing healing music like this, you're getting like a mix of music that's coming from this direction and this direction and this direction and this direction. And it is literally landing in your body in different places. And there is sound healing technology now. Well, it's been around for quite a while. The first one that I experienced was many, many years ago, called the Genesis machine. And it was a sound bed, you know, where you had the subwoofers that were underneath you. And then you had speakers around you. And then the times I'd experienced this, you're also put inside a sacred geometric field. So it was like copper wiring with like a Metatron cube or a pyramid or a, you know, some other particular sacred geometrical form. And then you're lying on this sound bed and all of these sounds are like just, you know, they're going everywhere. It's pretty wonderful. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And you're not listening through your headphones at all. You're just getting full body, because sound and vibration directly impacts the nervous system. The sound is going in through your ears. The minute it goes in through the ears, it's captured by it's the vagus nerve, right? And that's taking at all the way through the entire nervous system. So sound is directly impacted, directly affects your nervous system. And your nervous system then spreads all that information, whatever it is that you're listening to, through the entire body, through the nervous system itself, and then through the hormonal system, and then through the chakra system, you know, the energy systems through in the body, and then of course in the energy field. And before you know it, you know, you're kind of lit up like a Christmas tree. But what kind of music are you listening to? What kind of sound are you listening to? You can go to like a big rock concert or a, you know, a hip hop concert or some kind of concert like that. And the speakers are just blasting through you. And you might be carried by the crowd thing, but the next day you might feel awful, or you might feel awful that evening. Because sometimes I personally think that the pounding subwoofers in those concerts are dangerous. I really feel they're dangerous. I think they're dangerous to the physical form. You know, we have to remember sound is a very powerful modality, and sound can kill. Sound can destroy as much as it can uplift. And the Tibetans knew this. There were specific meditations that in Tibetan Buddhism were designed to literally destroy life. So they understood this. You know, you have the singer, right? That old story with the opera singer with the glass, and they hit the resonant frequency that matches the resonant frequency of the glass, and then all of a sudden the glass just shatters because it can't hold the frequency anymore. It literally explodes. Well, what do you think happens to us when we're being bombarded with sound? You know, our nervous system can't tolerate it, can't hold it. So we have to respect sound. It can heal. It can also be not very healing. And we got to know the difference. And we know the difference by going into our body and recognizing how we feel inside that context. You know, and this means, again, this is learning to listen. This is not just listening superficially. This is going into the body and feeling how the body feels in the context of the response to that sound. Make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Perfect sense.
I have to blow my nose.
Go for it.
We're going to put you on mute while I do that.
Sure. Well, while you're doing that, I just wanted to comment that that is incredible. And it at least from my experience, for what you just shared, Ashana, is that it can, it, like listening to music outside of not just having it in the headphones, it actually can be more powerful, whether powerful destructive or powerful helpful, if it is listened like through the body. I even kind of got that, like you could potentially be listening with the body, not just listening with the ears.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the whole point.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Listening with the body.
Right.
Receiving the sound.
Mm.
And it helps us to learn how to listen through our bodies. You know, to actually be an experiencer of the sound, a true listener of the sound, a receiver of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is vibration.
Right.
So when we listen to that vibration and it to the music, and it is, or the sound, and it becomes the dominant vibration in our environment, we are then, every cell, every atom in our body, everything that is an energetic vibration in our body, and that means all of it, is entraining to that sound. That dominant sound is now entraining us. So we have to consider, what do I want to listen to? What do I want to entrain to? Do I want to entrain to something that is pounding, angry, frustrating, you know, loud, vociferous? You know, do I want to listen to that? Do I want to listen to something that makes me nervous? Do I want to listen to something that makes me agitated? Do I want to listen to something that just makes me check out? Do I want to listen to something that actually is calming and soothing to my nervous system? Do I want to listen to something that's fun, that makes me want to dance? Do I want to listen to something that makes me feel empowered and joyful, right? You know, do I want to listen to something that makes my heart open, or am I listening to something that makes my heart feel closed? No. And so I'm not talking, I'm not specifying, please, I want to be really clear about this. I'm not specifying that any particular kind of music is better than another, right? I mean, I just did a concert last night with, you know, and I love this. I mean, my friend Three Trees and I, we get together, and he is a world percussionist and drummer and hand drum and, you know, didgeridoo. And these are like powerful rhythmic sounds. And we put the bowls with them, and it's so much fun. You know, that's that feeling where your heart is lifting. And then at the same time, we can do music that just takes you into like space. You know? So there's no, this music is better than that music. Healing music has to look like this. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. You know? I do know that when I take my little alchemy bowls and I put them into things, magic can happen, right? And that's part of the intention.
Right. Well, Ashana, it's amazing how time flies. We're around an hour. I wanted to bring, awesome. I know, I wanted to bring this in for a landing with anything else you wanted to add or share about the program you were mentioning. I'm glad we got to talk about it a bit, but we didn't ask very specifically because it just naturally flowed there. But is there anything you wanted to add or speak on about that? We still have, you know, we could take another 5 or 10 minutes, but anything else you wanted to add about this new program that you have coming out?
Yes, it's called Celestial Alignment for Healing. And I think one of the things that we were going to do for you guys is give people a sample of the music of that so that people could have the experience of listening to it. It is a program. It's an 8-week online program that you get all of this music and you get videos and you get mind movies and you get like an hour and a half with me once a week. And we talk about, this is where we are learning deep listening, where we're learning to be receptive to sound, how we're learning to shift our mindset. We're talking about the gamut of healing and working with sound healing specifically to make tremendous changes in your life. And we've run our first beta test. We're about to run our next one, which is going to start in a couple of weeks. And then once that program is done in 8 weeks, we're going to be launching it to the general public. So it's going to be open for everybody to come and play with us. We have had amazing results from this. As I mentioned before, we've had people doing, you know, transformations from the big C and let that go. We've had actually several people that have gone through that experience. We've had people suffering and struggling with real mental concerns, you know, anxiety, depression, where, you know, I have quotes from people that say, oh my God, my life has changed and I wake up and I can't wait for the day. You know, these are very tangible results from working with the music, with the sounds and the mindset and helping to shift on multiple levels. So you get music to listen to on a daily basis. You get these beautiful videos. You get to learn about toning and your voice, and everything is combined with the alchemy crystal singing bowls. It's really magical. So if anybody is interested, we've got a free excerpt from one of the pieces we can send you. Come join us, get on the mailing list so you'll hear about it when it starts, and you know, invite your friends. You know, we're doing this because we know that sound and vibrational healing and healing music can make a powerful difference in your life. And I want to put it in the hands of everyone so that, you know, if you don't have access to a sound bath, if you can't have like a crystal singing bowl, you can have this. And so, and you can have it wherever you go, wherever you are in the world, even when you're traveling or you're at grandma's house. You could take your sound healing with you wherever you go. And that doesn't mean you don't go to your sound baths or you go to a sound healing practitioner, but this is for all the spaces in between, right? And it's to help you learn to take all sound healing and embrace it for yourself, for your own healing and well-being.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we'll make sure that there's a link in the description of this episode so that people who are interested can click on that and connect with, like you said, that sound clip, and then mailing list to connect with you on that.
Yeah. And come and join us at thesoundofashauna.com, and come and join us. We're on Facebook and Instagram and lots of videos on YouTube. So just come, welcome to my world.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you for this conversation. This was beautiful. Brilliant.
You're very, very welcome. It was my joy and my pleasure.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton, or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people, and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.